Southwest Alaska's sea otters were declared threatened under the Endangered Species Act in 2005. As part of that designation, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was required by law to identify certain areas as critical sea otter habitat within 1 year. When they didn't, the Center for Biological Diversity decided to sue.
Quickly thereafter filing our case, the Department of Justice, which represents federal agencies, realized that there was no defense, that the agency was blatantly violating the law, and we were able to work out a settlement and come up with a time frame by which the agency could come into compliance.
Brendan Cunnings is the Oceans Program Director for the center. He says that designating the area means that all federal agencies are required to make sure they do not hurt the habitat.
Protecting the sea otter should be seen as an umbrella that protects its entire ecosystem. Designating critical habitat for the otter protects the kelp forests that the otter depend upon. It protects the clean water and the water quality, and therefore protecting the sea otter is completely compatible with protecting the fisheries of the region.
Protecting the area could mean that the Fish and Wildlife Service might work with the Coast Guard to make shipping through the region safer. That could prevent oil spills. It could also mean that drilling in the region would be more heavily regulated.
Once this otter critical habitat is designated, the Minerals Management Service, which is the agency overseeing offshore oil leasing, will have to go through a process and prove that opening up Bristol Bay to oil leasing will not destroy or adversely modify sea otter critical habitat along the edge of Bristol Bay in the Aleutian Peninsula.
Fish and wildlife biologist Douglas Byrne says that it may or may not affect drilling in the region. It would completely depend on what the specific drilling projects might include, but that the MMS would have to consult with Fish and Wildlife about sea otters before proceeding. He also says that the designation will probably not affect commercial or subsistence fishing in the region.
By and large, most commercial fishing in Southwest Alaska is occurring in areas outside of where the critical habitat occurs. The one notable exception is with salmon set net fisheries, which do occur close to shore. But again, if they're occurring within 3 nautical miles of the high tide line, then they're within the state waters, and so we don't consult on those fisheries.
Though 90% of the designated areas are within state waters, they are affected by projects that involve federal agencies or getting permits from federal agencies. The areas are not off limits to boats or for recreational uses, so long as they don't hurt the otters. Southwest Alaska sea otter populations have declined from about 100,000 in the 1970s to about 40,000 in 2005. Scientists think the drop is due to increased predation, mostly by killer whales. The whales used to eat sea lions before their populations dropped as well. Protecting the habitat gives sea otters a place to hide from the whales. Byrne says the outlook for sea otters is not all negative. He saw an increase in Western Aleutian sea otter populations in 2007.
They have the reproductive potential to recover, and in some cases quite rapidly. It all depends on if we can help reduce the threats, but the potential for recovery is there.
The Fish and Wildlife Service will release a sea otter recovery plan in 2009. They'll also be accepting public comments on the designated critical habitat areas for the next 60 days. Cunning says his organization will encourage the service to increase the size of the protected areas, but notes that protecting areas is not enough. We need to work to stop global warming as well, he says, which is negatively impacting the entire Aleutian ecosystem. The designation will go into effect in October of 2009. In Unalaska, I'm Ann Hillman.